Tell me a little bit about what the event that's happening this weekend.
Well, that's a Zoom session to talk about the early days of the 930 Club, the early days of the Washington downtown music scene, and how that got formulated and how that came to pass.
When I moved to Washington in 1979, I was aware of the Urban Verbs. And, you know, I saw the posters. You know, can you describe what the Urban Verbs sounded like?
What did we sound like? That's a good question. Both Robert Goldstein, the guitarist in the band, and I were very much in agreement. We didn't want to sound like any other band. We wanted to come up with a sound of our own. And Robert was an excellent guitarist, and he clearly came up with a sound of his own. And with my vocals and the additions of Robin Rose on synthesizer, Danny Frankel on drums and percussion, and Linda France on bass guitar, we sounded like five individual musicians playing songs together, and it was a real joy. I really enjoyed it. I loved every moment of it.
My recollection is that the Urban Verbs often played in offbeat locations.
Well, that was because there weren't any clubs at that time that were interested in new wave bands or the new sound of music at the time. And so we had to find places that would both advertise us and pay us for putting on shows in those locations. A number of places were very good about that. Most of them that we approached were very good about having us come on and play. And especially after a while, when it looked like we were going to sign with Warner Brothers Records, which we in fact did, we sort of, and I'm not trying to steal anyone else's glory, but ours has been sort of usurped by acts that came later. And some of those were very successful acts, and I don't begrudge them their success or popularity at all. But we were the first ones in downtown Washington making music. There wasn't anyone else.
Back at that moment in time, the Urban Verbs, they were the band that DC was rooting for, and the thought was that they were going to make it big. So what was it like at that moment when you were bubbling under?
Bubbling under. It was magical, Neil. I've been thinking about this a lot for the last couple of days, and there's not another word to describe it.
The show at the Hall of Nations, obviously, that is a show that everybody says that they were at, whether they were or not. Why do you think that particular show was such a turning point?
It was us and the Cramps, and those are two very different bands. The Cramps were, you know, the great cartoon band of their day, and we weren't. And we already had a pretty good following in Washington, so all of our following came out. And then all of the Cramps following, it turned out they had a good following in Washington as well, turned out. So you had two bands playing to very favorable audiences. Things got out of hand. And by that, I mean, there were people climbing through the windows and muscling their way through the door. People have since referred to it as a riot. I think that's a little strong, but it was probably bordering on a riot or verging on a riot. And both of the bands got paid and went away fat, dumb, and happy.
The fact that people still talk about a moment in musical time, your thoughts on whether it's the music or the magic of memory?
I think it was the spirit of the day. There was a balls-out spirit to things that were going on back then, and everyone realized we were in this magical moment where we hadn't even begun to scrape the top. You know, there was more top to be found. It was magical. And here we were, you know, these young kids basically had been signed to Warner Brothers Records for a two-album deal. And I think that gave all the local bands a shot in the arm because they felt, you know, gee, if the Urban Verbs can do it, we can do it too. It was a time where the world was still new. There were things still to be discovered, places to go, people to meet.